Where is my home? Where is my home? Is the opening line of the Czech national anthem. When I think of home, I think of the house where I grew up on 33 Rejskova ulica. It sat squarely along with its neighbors of neoclassical stone townhouses in shades of soft yellow, beige, and cool gray. Above the windows and doors were intricate stone carvings of vines and scrolls. The glass in the tall windows was old, wavering and melting, perfectly bisected by the type of crossed mullions you would see in a child's drawing. Heavily carved walnut doors stood at the top of the two stone steps, whose corners were rounded with age. In the early summer, the soft chamomile smell of flowering linden trees that shaded the street permeated everything. Our street was right off the main square in the middle of my small town, Prostějov. This was my heart, the place I belonged. It didn't matter that the beautiful stone was covered by a layer of grime. The grime muted and softened the divisions between the individual houses, made them flow into one another. It didn't matter we had no hot water, a toilet housed on a veranda, and stoves heated with coal. It didn't matter that seven of us shared a single bedroom. It didn't matter that we only took one bath a week, in a long tin tub my grandpa pulled out of the basement on Sundays. My grandmother, my babi, had to heat pots of water on the old black cast iron stove in the kitchen, the behemoth that was used for both cooking and heating. We would bathe in turns, starting with the kids, my cousin and I, and go in order of age. Grandpa, being the oldest, got the dirtiest and coldest bath water. My home, the sweetness of my childhood, resided in this old townhouse with a reassuring smell of mold in the damp stone basement, the high-ceiling first and second floors, and the lofty bright attic where Bobby hung the laundry to dry between old sun-warmed wooden beams that scented the air with a sweet cinnamon smell. The house had been inherited from an uncle of my grandpa. After World War II, the communist government judged it too spacious for one family and divided it. My family lived on the first floor, while the second floor was divided between two households. A tiny little room on the second floor was home to Pani Rusova, a woman of a mysterious age and mysterious history. She had no plumbing in her room and had to come downstairs to use the toilet on the veranda and fill buckets with water from the cold water tap in the kitchen. The rest of the second floor was a one-bedroom apartment mirroring our apartment downstairs, occupied by another family. Later, when my mother, my little brother, and I moved to Sweden, I'd have my own room in a modern apartment building on the outskirts of town. It was a boxy, red-brick, three-story building filled with single moms and alcoholic men. There were no decorations above the windows or doors or anywhere. The buildings were square and utilitarian. Inside, a long, dark hallway opened to square rooms on either side, bedrooms on one side and living areas on the other. It was very clean, very sparse. My brother and I each had a bunk bed and a desk. The living room had a mustard-colored pleather couch set that glued your thighs to it and made a wet peeling noise when you stood up. A big, round paper ball lantern hung from the ceiling, casting a shadowless flat light. Our building was wedged between a gas station and a dark little supermarket. The apartment building was somehow built on the only hill in town in the midst of the flattest landscape you could imagine, so entering it from the front, you needed to climb a flight of stairs to get to our apartment. In the back, however, our balcony off the kitchen was on level ground. I often used this balcony as a way to get in and out. Once I moved out on my own, I always preferred high-ceilinged, impractical places to modern, comfortable ones.